handle the truth.
I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and call this made-up date that we all live and exist on and make sure you pay your bills on time. We're going to call it March 13th. It's a Wednesday, 2024. Well, again, we know that there's some odd years in there. 277 years called the Dark Ages. We just add that to the calendar and we just continue to make those things up. So again, guys, understand that if we can move time, change the calendar, honestly, it's all just made up. We know the currency that we're dealing with is also at its peak of existence. We understand there's going to be a crash coming, and there has to be. Can't continue to put this kind of hot air into nothingness and expect it to last. We got these things going on in the world around us. So anyway, I got a headphone up today because I'm going to have a special guest on with me. And guys, remember, all the stuff that you're seeing, all the things that are going on right now have nothing to do with reality other than, just a second, Chris, we're going to have about 2 seconds here. Chris is ready on the corner. He's ready to go. A lot of the stuff you guys are seeing right now, the TikTok bill has nothing to do with TikTok. It's a Trojan horse. Remember last year, they kept telling you TikTok, it's the bad people. Oh, we just couldn't get that legislation through to ban TikTok. Let me tell you right now, the TikTok bill is your Patriot Act Trojan horse for the internet. This allows them to literally go into your computer. This is not an internet thing. I mean, this is far from it. And I'm stretching the words here a little bit, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, but understand the TikTok bill has nothing to do with your safety. It has everything to do with their control. Why do you think so many left and right congressmen just yesterday voted this through? It didn't vote through on partisan sides. It didn't go through by one or two votes. There was only a handful of people that voted no. Everybody else voted for this. Now, that should terrify you in any time in your life that you think that this you should have been scared, that's when you should be scared. When you see the left and the right wing and the same bird flapping at the same time, you know exactly what's going on. Now, the guys, this has nothing to do with your TikTok. It has everything to do with your intranet. By the way, TikTok is housed in Oracle's data mine in Texas, and it is also majority owned by Americans and investors. The CEO is actually not from Hong Kong, but from Shanghai. Again, we have these problems where we continue to talk about things and we don't know what they are. I guess you can call your congressman. It doesn't really matter. They're not going to do what you want. They're going to do as they will. But understand what you understand is the internet of things is going to change immensely, and I am going to be affected by it. You will be affected by it. What we already know Google does with censorship is nothing compared to what you're getting ready to experience. You will be ultimately truly mind-controlled, and the information you'll be given will only be what they, and I don't know who the they is. I don't have all the answers to who all the bloodlines and all the establishment players and this and that and who the they is, but it ain't going to be me, and it ain't going to be you. It's going to be people who do not believe in freedoms and liberties for all. And guys, remember, we do have the new T-shirt up, the Jim Price Show, the corner of badass and cool shit. That shirt is out. You guys can pre-order that. I did have a couple pre-orders yesterday, but they weren't pre-orders. They were just orders from my regular merchandise. So anyway, guys, if you're looking for that shirt, remember, individual liberties, individual freedoms. We stand with all patriots. That is the Jim Price Show theme. If you guys are wanting the new shirt, the corner of badass and cool shit, you better get it before they tell you you can't do that on the internet anymore. Again, the internet of things is what's happening, and do understand that they do not care about you. They only care about what they can control, which is you. They don't. Again, I know that sounds weird. They don't care about you, but they want to control you, and they care about themselves to do that. So mindful. Think about their intentions, what they're doing. All right, I'm going to bring Chris in here. Chris, good to see you, sir. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to scoot myself over here so everybody can see me as well. All right, Chris. Chris Downey is here. And Chris is, I guess I'm going to let you do the introductions of what you're doing and where we can find you.
Oh, absolutely. So I run a company called VaxCalc Labs.
That's VaxCalc. Well, it's VaxCalc.org, VaxCalc.org. And what that does is it supports parents who are labeled vaccine hesitant. Now, to me, I love vaccine hesitant people because it means you're asking questions, you're using your critical judgment, you understand that there's a risk to something, and whenever there's a risk, we should be hesitant before we do it. You think about it, get some information. So really, you know, vaccine, we serve the vaccine hesitant community, or what I like to call the common sense middle ground people that are saying, no, you know, I don't really trust what CDC is saying, and I'm gonna just look at this myself. Maybe I'll choose some vaccines, maybe I won't choose any vaccines. And so VaxCalc is here to support the parents on their vaccine journey. And it really is a journey. You know, anyone that insists on making their own decisions in such a like a hot potato kind of issue area where there's so many lies out there and the doctors are pressuring them, it is a journey. And the journey starts oftentimes when your baby is, you know, born or in the first few months and you're going into the doctor's office, and the young mom or a young dad will have a just like a bad feeling in their gut, like, you know, something's not right here. Why do they want to give so many vaccines to my child? And that's where a service like VaxCalc can really support.
Yeah. When you so VaxCalc, is that what you're saying, like the calculation of, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it started off with a longer name many years ago called the Vaccine Ingredients Calculator.
Right.
And yeah, and one of the things that VaxCalc can do is if you can get in there and say, yeah, you know, we're thinking about like DTaP and Hep B and this and that, and you just select a couple of vaccines, and immediately you'll see the totality of all the amounts of ingredients added up instantly. And that's really hard information to find. And then there's curated research on every one of those ingredients, and this, and we're talking like 20 years worth of work in this, so that parents don't have to spend endless hours figuring it all out from scratch.
Right. Well, and so that's important. Right? Well, that's important that people are able to go to something that they can feel confident in and have the counter narrative or the counter argument to so much of this pushback. Like, why don't you believe in that? Well, you know, because you guys are idiots. I don't know. I don't think.
I mean, think about the word you just used, right? And that's what we're hearing all the time. You know, you'll hear the other side saying things like, "Well, we believe in science. We believe in vaccines." But you know, the belief.
Right.
That sounds religious. That sounds like something you reserve for, like, you know, your belief in God.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's that makes it sound like you don't believe that you want health for your children. Wouldn't that be considered to be a cult? Like if I said, well, how come you don't believe in my salvation of you? I'm your savior. Why don't you believe in me? I can bring salvation to you because I'm almighty. That's where people, I don't know. I hate that we've now somehow have misused or abused even the religions that we have today, the some of the stuff that we see, we're using those religions, because wasn't it, you know, the Jews were saying they wanted it, and the Muslims, you know, we were using churchy things to get people to vax up.
Right, and there's another thing too. I mean, there's like a real magical belief around vaccines that you have to be careful about, where and they put it under they call it herd immunity. Mm-hmm. That exists in nature, but they're trying to apply it to vaccines, and it's a real magical belief. So you'll hear things like, well, you know, if you don't vaccinate, you know, you're endangering everyone else. But it's like, well, if vaccines work, how can you be endangering the vaccinated? Like, to me, that's no different than complaining that, you know, I've been working out really hard and I'm getting no results because you, Jim, you are not doing your workout.
Right.
I mean, it makes just as much sense.
Yeah. If I don't do my 100 reps today, you lose muscle mass. That has no.
I will. I mean, yeah, and frankly, crazy. I'm really angry, and I'm going to find a way to get you for that.
Right. I need to make sure that, you know, you need to make sure and penalize me in some way so that I. There was a book, and I wish I could remember what the name of this book was. I remember I read it in fifth grade. It was a book about this same thing. It was very Orwellian in the idea that if you were very beautiful and you were very strong and you had really great eyesight and you were tall, you were, they put on these goggles so your eyesight wasn't as good. It was average. They weighted you down, and so you were average, so you couldn't run faster than others. They put a mask on you so you weren't prettier than others. This sounds exactly like all that, doesn't it?
No, it really does. I mean, there's a similar thread going through there where people are being penalized who think for themselves. And you know, those who think for themselves are smart and are courageous. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to take smart, courageous parents who love God and love their children and see protecting their children as part of their sacred duty,
right,
and trying to control and punish them. And you know, you were talking earlier about that TikTok bill. And you know, you're right, it's all about control, because uncontrollable people are dangerous and scary to those who are in power.
Right. Well, again,
when you said, are a test of that.
And say you said power. See, remember, in a constitutional republic, we have public servants, not public leaders.
Right. Although, you know, it doesn't seem like we have many of that anymore, except right. for a small number
right.
who we, you know, are really important. But greatly outnumbered.
Right. So when you got started on this journey, was this something that you were doing prior to the whole COVID, the Mexican beer flu that was
I started way like back in 2003 before my daughter was born.
Right.
And honestly, I probably would have fully vaccinated my children or come really close to it, because vaccines weren't on the radar at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what happened was we were taking special measures to kind of control the birth experience. We didn't want to go in a hospital.
Right.
We wanted to do a birthing center so that we could do a more natural birth, you know, with a hospital as a backup, you know, because, you know, hospitals can be important. Like the ER is really important, but we don't need it for everything. You know, we don't need doctors for everything. And so, you know, I wanted my daughter to come into the world not with glaring bright lights and, you know, in a medical setting, but with like a soft music, nice bed, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so we went around interviewing pediatricians just to find a good fit, personality wise. And, you know, just, it was an important part of your decision on becoming a new parent. And, you know, the discussions with every one of them, and I think we interviewed like 5 or 6 or 7, the discussions were great. I mean, every one of them seemed like a good person, professional, knowledgeable, caring, and all that, until we got onto the subject of vaccines.
Right.
And it, like I said, they weren't even on my radar, but one of the pediatricians pointed out, saying something like, you know, your daughter will, or your new child will need the hepatitis B vaccine within 24 hours of her birth. And, you know, I was like, well, that kind of confused me. I was like, okay, well, hold on here. You're saying that she needs this hepatitis B vaccine, but isn't, you know, I haven't thought about this much before, but isn't that the disease primarily, at risk for people who share dirty needles while injecting drugs and prostitutes?
Right.
Like, why are you saying my newborn would need this?
Well, she's hepatitis B deficient. That's why you need to make sure and get hepatitis in within minutes of birth, right? She's deficient of hepatitis.
I mean, it was insane. Because the answer is like, so we went from like really good conversation to suddenly a brick wall. And like, they're giving me reasons that have nothing to do with my daughter's life.
Right.
So, for example, they would say, well, you know, she might get bit in daycare. And I was like, well, okay, but she's not going to daycare. So, like, what else is there? She might need a blood transfusion. I was like, oh, okay, now show me the data on that. What's the risk here?
Right.
That, this is not right. So I left there, you know, every...
But wait, they test blood for hepatitis. So if you need a blood transfusion, why would you need to worry about hepatitis if they test the blood for hepatitis?
So, I mean, what you're pointing to is that someone is lying. And so I went away with this sense of moral vertigo, like really kind of like, what is going on here? I always thought I could trust doctors, but like, I have this sense that they're lying to me or someone lied to them.
Right.
And that's what got me, you know, asking questions about vaccines.
Well, remember, doctors are studying to a question and an answer. They're not studying to a development of scientific discovery, right? All they're doing is studying to a test. I got to pass this test so I can get to this test, and I can get to this test, and I can go be a doctor. That's not science. That's not discovery.
No, it's really not. I mean, what you're talking about is more like checkbox medicine.
Yeah.
And I think pediatricians, I mean, there's a small number of pediatricians, probably like 0.5% of all pediatricians that are incredible. You know, they want to be healers. They're good. They have open minds. And many of them are vaccine choice friendly. Right. But they're hard to find, and the state and medical boards go after them.
Right. Well, I think about that. Okay, so the first thing that we talk about, let's go with religion, right? So we kind of started out the idea that religion, or we use religion a way to manipulate people into decisions. Isn't in the Bible, doesn't it talk about free will and the fact that absolutely. You can choose your salvation, whether you go to an eternity without Christ or with Christ or unity with Christ? But okay, so I get to choose my eternal soul's destination, but I don't get to choose about the government chemicals you want to put in my body?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good point. And, you know, I think it's important for parents, new parents, to understand they need to stand up to this.
Yeah.
And because it is part of their sacred duty to protect their children and not to hand over decisions to their doctor or to the government.
Wow. Well, and yeah, think about that. Again, this is a situation where we go from Roe versus Wade, which is a privacy act between a doctor and a patient, and then they churched it up to it legalized abortion, which, again, wasn't reality. But then the Supreme Court says, by the way, states, this is your job. This is not a federalist model. According to the Constitution and Constitutional Republic, individual states override or supersede the federal government. So you guys take care of it at the state level. Again, when women say that, well, they want a choice of my body, my choice, why is it that if you want to kill something that's alive in you and has its own soul and has its own heartbeat and a lot of times can be sustainable within weeks of conception, yet you are saying that I have to do something you want me to do, but you can't leave that baby alone inside of you? This is where these stories or these terms don't make a lot of sense to me. I guess I'm a little dense in the idea that I should be able to just choose what I want. I mean, isn't that what everybody says they want? I want to choose my pronoun, correct?
Well, they don't want you to choose what you want. They want to choose what they want for themselves and to choose for you what they want for you.
Right, exactly. Well, again, it's all that. It's semantics or this wordplay that we do where we can't just be honest about things. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things, it was interesting that you brought up, you know, a quote from the Bible. I mean, I have my own that I actually associate with my mission with VaxCalc. It's from Matthew 9:13, where it says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And the really important thing to understand is that mandatory mass vaccination is a merciless system built upon the assumption that it's okay to sacrifice some children for the benefit of others.
Right.
And that, you know, once I started to see that, that's what got me really committed. I mean, in the sense of like, this is my life's purpose.
Right. Hey, what's the website real quick? I want to type this into the comments so everybody gets it. What's the website?
VaxCalc.org, VaxCalc.org. On the homepage, you'll see my story. There's a little button. It looks like a square, but there's a little button you can click to see a picture of my daughter after 12 months after she had a really serious peanut allergy reaction. That's another thing that got me even deeper into this.
Well,
if you scroll down a little bit, you can join our email list. Lots of educational material coming out for free.
Right.
To you.
No, I'm on the website now. Good deal on that. Well, a lot of people don't realize a lot of the peanut allergies we have nowadays are because of the mold and the glyphosates that are sprayed. One, the mold gets into the peanuts because they're stored long-term in open silos, but also then the glyphosates they put on there to keep the mold under control causes the exacerbation of allergies that we may have already. Glyphosate, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the rabbit hole I want you to go on. Go up, look up Paraquats, glyphosate, Roundup. Monsanto paid out $100 billion in lawsuits last year, and they are still selling that product today. They're willing to pay out $100 billion in lawsuits year after year because that's how much money they're making. But at the same time, glyphosate is what's killing us across the board. BH4 pathways, the autism spectrums, all the different things. If you start looking into what glyphosates do to the body, and then when they bring the aluminums in there and they create the cytostorms, what then goes into the autism spectrum of hot wiring the brain, I'm wondering, I think that's a great avenue for you to, but glyphosate, if you look at glyphosate.
Actually, VaxCalc does include some information that Moms Across America found a good number of years ago when they randomly tested some of the vaccines. They did find some glyphosate in some of them, like the MMR. But of course, different batches are going to have different amounts. And when I say different batches, you know, they produce biological products like vaccines in batches.
Yeah.
And that's why they have lot numbers, because it's impossible to make each batch exactly the same.
Yeah.
And now, talking about allergies, this is something that very few people know. And again, this is in VaxCalc, and it came out as part of my research some years ago. Into the ingredients. And like one of the things you can, one of the ways to think about VaxCalc is that it provides food ingredient label transparency to vaccines. Otherwise, it's just so hard to figure out what the heck is in them, so that parents can really research, understand, and take control of their children's medical decisions. But anyway, I wanted just to share with you, starting at 2 months, you know, children would normally get what's called the DTaP vaccine, and the P in DTaP is for pertussis, or whooping cough, and that's a pretty serious disease.
Right.
If a little kid gets that, that's pretty bad. You know, if you're not going to vaccinate, you know, for that, you need to be prepared. You need to have a good doctor. You need to have things on hand to deal with it, and someone that can recognize it in its early stage. However, in that vaccine, there are two ingredients. One is aluminum, and the other is pertussis toxin. Now, another chemical name for pertussis toxin is histamine sensitizing factor.
Ah.
Think about that. I mean, what do we get when we have allergies? We get a medicine called an antihistamine. And if there's, I found a Nature article from maybe 10, 15 years ago that goes into great detail on how scientists studying food allergies will use injections of aluminum and pertussis toxin to induce food allergies in lab rats.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the BH4 pathway, the first thing that happens in the breakdown of the cell functions, it creates histamine. So if you've already got a breakdown of creating more histamine than necessary, then the BH4 pathway breaks down the cell function, then you've got even more histamine, right? So again, it's histamine. Guys, I say this on the show all the time. You're not fat, you're inflamed. If you start learning what inflammation is, you'll start to lose weight. That's as simple as that. I'm going to tell you right now, hands down, everything I think about when I put in my body, food is medicine. But when you think about inflammation, yes, that is actually what you are. You're not fat. I get that we have a certain amount of fat in our body, but you can eat 100 pounds of fat and be skinny. I'm just telling you right now, fat does not make you fat. You know, sedentary
lifestyle.
That's
so true.
Sedentary lifestyle.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
That is,
go ahead,
Jim. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you, but I'm saying what you're saying is so important. I mean, our brains are like 60% fat. Cholesterol lubricates, you know, our nerve, the sheaths around the nerves. I mean, we need this stuff. And so when we go fat free or low fat, or you take cholesterol lowering medication, that does interfere with your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I've been doing for the last year and a half, which is, I think, probably the best health practice ever, other than drinking healthy water, is daily cold showers or ice baths.
Right.
And they really do a lot to reduce the inflammation. And I'm really impressed with how much you know, by the way. You're really good.
That's the reason. The reason I started the daily update was actually on this last Saturday was my 4-year anniversary of the daily update. I was doing a weekend radio show a couple years prior to that, and I was doing that, and I said, you know, I'm seeing all this stuff that Trump was coming out with, and, oh, we're going to go get this vaccine, we're going to do this, we're going to shut things down, and too many people were coming to me with comments and questions, and I'm like, I've got to just get on the air more often. So I started doing the daily update, which is what this is, because of vaccines, but I was already a vaccine hesitant issue, because I was like, okay, well, I thought, if my kids need something, I'm going to go get it for them. If I think that they're going to Central America, I'm going to say, well, maybe you should get a shot for, you know, malaria or whatever it is. But I was never that guy. But I got into this because then I started seeing how I thought I was healthy. You know, the last 30 years of my life, I am healthier now than I have been in 30 years. But yet I didn't know where I was at. So I've been on this health journey, trying to put my body back together, trying to undo things. I drink out of a copper vessel. This is a unfinished copper vessel. I drink out of every day. I ferment water in copper to do the healing stuff. So I'm big on this stuff. This is my wheelhouse. I love this and health and spiritual and stuff. So you're on the right path, man. Good job.
Thank you. I gotta tell you, I want to get one of your shirts after the show. Okay, I'm gonna place an order. Those shirts sound fantastic. Yeah.
TheJimPriceShow.com there. So that appreciate that, man. Thank you. Oops, you there? Okay, keep going.
I am here.
Yeah, keep going. It's all you. So when you were talking about your daughter and her peanut allergy, what did you, when you say the allergy, was she just flushed or what happened?
Oh, no, it was really, really bad. Mm-hmm. My wife called me after she had things under control. I mean, Brenna just had like the tiniest smidgen of peanut butter at 12 months. I mean, it was like barely enough to fill 1/4 of a dime.
Right.
And like suddenly she's like rubbing her mouth and rubbing her face. And I got home, so I was actually in like 30 miles away at a class, which was really frustrating.
Right.
And by the time I got home, I mean, and she already had three adult doses of Benadryl. Okay. Wow. And it looked like it looked like a strong guy had pummeled her face. Right. I mean, her eyes were all shut. Everything was swollen. You know, we rushed her over to the pediatrician. They actually were phenomenal. I mean, they coached Kimberly over the phone to tell whether she was having trouble breathing. And fortunately she wasn't.
Right.
But after that, that's when I really started looking into the ingredients in everything. So I became just so like disciplined and extreme on just like no food would go into her unless I knew every ingredient, and I had to be able to pronounce the ingredients and know what they are. And anything with more than like 4 or 5 ingredients, no, forget it.
Yeah.
We really started moving pure and natural after that. And then it struck me probably a few weeks later. It's like, you know, there's like one thing I'm not looking at that I never really thought to look at in terms of the actual, like what's in it. And it was vaccines.
Right.
Yeah. And so then that's when I went on the journey of trying to, you know, figuring out what is in them. And when I started reading the FDA approved package inserts, it was really quite disturbing. I was like, how can it be okay to inject more and more and more of this into a child?
Yeah.
And not only that, but you know, there are probably about maybe 12 to 14 million kids with food allergies in the United States. And you know, a question for anyone's pediatrician is like, how do you know it's actually safe to continually and artificially ramp up their already dangerously overreactive immune systems?
Well,
and there's no research into that whatsoever.
Well, and one of the things I was going to tell people is that if you think about what she's talking about, peanut allergies, it's a protein strain. My daughter had a daughter who was very sick when she was born. Lori got sick in the third trimester and it went to the baby, but it was a common virus. It shouldn't have been a big deal. Anyway, the peanut allergy, the reason that we see peanuts as an allergy is because of the protein size. So if meats, you think of protein size, what it really is. And what happens is you think about that when your body ingests the peanut butter, the protein size was too big for the body to handle, which, you know, depending on the age of the child and what they've been used to taking in, their body is ready for it, right? So your body, and that's why they say, well, give your kid one thing, yams one day, wait for a day, and then give them peas the next day, wait for a day, because you're wanting to see what they're tolerant of. And the protein strain in peanuts is different because it is a bigger strain and it can cause anaphylactic shock or what your daughter went through. And it's really just because the body doesn't know how to handle it. And that, you know, a lot of this is, though, is that we bring that exacerbates because of there is funguses in peanuts. By the way, there's a man sitting in federal prison right now for the rest of his life because he was fudging the mold content of peanuts for almost 20 years. And so there was large amounts of mold being put into peanut butter and Snickers bars and all this other stuff. And because it was passing on to us, it's created a quote-unquote dis-ease in the body, which is this fungus that came from the peanuts. And then when people ingest that, their body goes into a cytostorm going, oh, crap, this is that fungus we dealt with before. So anyway, your baby wasn't there, but it was just there was something else probably going on. And it could have been if it had a little bit of that fungus in there, it could have been a problem for her as well. I don't know.
That's really interesting. I didn't know anything about that dude in jail. I'm going to have to find out more about that. That's hideous what he did.
Yeah, no, it's a huge thing. It wasn't in the mainstream media, but right. If you go back, what it was is he was doing it because he was wanting to be more profitable at the plant, so they had less rejections. Well, and again, they hadn't got into spraying it with glyphosates, so they were having to worry about storage and this and that, so they were fibbing on the mold content going out to the public.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a guy sitting in federal prison for shorting the batches on, you know, the OSB, that oriented strand board, the wafer board that we put in all of our houses on roofs and floors. There's a guy sitting in federal prison for shortening the batch on the resins in that, and that happened for probably 8 years, and he was shorting a patented formula for OSB or plywood. He's sitting in, I don't know if he's out yet. I knew about this about 20 years ago.
Wow.
But the idea that there's plywood out there that does not have the right amount of resin in it for it to be able to sustain itself, which means plywood will literally just start falling apart. Anyway,
that's kind of disturbing. Holy moly.
Yeah. So there's there's things out there that we just don't pay attention to. Go ahead.
No. I mean, you know, what you're saying, and that goes for our food system as well. I mean, that's a good number of years ago, you know, we switched more and more and more of the food we buy to get it directly from an Amish farm that does neighborhood drops around here. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, I love Whole Foods, but like, I still would prefer to get from the Amish.
Whole Foods now is nothing better than Kroger or anybody else. Natural Grocers is about the only one I know that still does in-house testing.
So, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
Amazon doesn't give a crap as long as it's expensive and they make a lot of money. I will tell you that honestly. They do not care. Whole Foods is not what it used to be when it first started out. And Trader Joe's.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, but it is better. I guess, you know, it is better than the Giant. But like I said, you know, we definitely prefer the Amish farm, the direct consumer to farmer relationship.
Right. Well, so another thing too is Trader Joe's is Kroger's. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's just takes Kroger food and they just put their label on it called organic.
So. Oh my gosh, man, that's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But you know, what you're pointing out kind of shows one of the things that we found to be really important and something we've created for this, the need to have a community of trust, right? Like, I've just learned a few things from you. And because we are in the kind of the same community connected by people we both trust, you know, some of that trust kind of immediately goes over to one another.
Right.
And so what we have, like when someone joins our email list, within 8 hours, they get an invite to our free private online vaccine choice supporting community. And what we saw during COVID was that, you know, we really, really need community. And when it comes down to it, they're going to try to not only induce endless amounts of fear, but they're also going to shame and isolate. When someone feels too isolated, they will start giving in and doing things they don't want to do and just give up more and more of their freedoms. And so the VaxCalc Forum is a free community for anyone that gets on the list. And it's just a bunch of, you know, it's a whole bunch of like-minded people who can support one another in whatever we're going through, whatever our choices are.
Right.
And it's hopefully some of the viewers will wind up. And if anyone listening, if you accept that invitation, do an introduction in the forum and let me know that you came from Jim Price's show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, guys. Keep rep the show, guys. I appreciate that.
We'll promote it there.
One of the things I wanted to add real quick, I'm making a comment here. I was talking to one of my followers, and she made a comment earlier, and it disappeared. And I said, hey, did you delete that comment? She's like, no. Facebook has already gone in just during the show right here and deleted a thing. They gave my grandson the Hep B within 30 minutes of birth. They also took the placenta off in a bowl. They used to throw it in the trash. So the problem is that, you know, they're taking the placenta, doing whatever, but they gave her grandson the Hep B within 30 minutes of birth, and they deleted that. Facebook has already deleted that off of my page, off the show.
Facebook is evil when it comes to these issues.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, your viewers also need to be aware that If they give birth in a hospital, they really need a plan to do that, to protect their newborn from being taken from them and being given the Hep B vaccine without their consent.
Right.
Because it is actually considered to be what's called like a standard of practice, that it's like medically necessary. They believe it's medically necessary to vaccinate that newborn with Hep B, and they don't need to ask. And if they do it, no matter how angry you are, you can't sue. You can't do anything about it.
Right. Well, and again, that's because our Congress went in the dead of night, just like they're doing with this whole TikTok thing. They went in and voted in the immunity of all vaccination companies and nurses, practitioners. They gave them all immunity. But yet in our
Right.
Constitution, it says no one can have immunity, including the bureaucracy, the elected officials, or anybody. So I don't know why we get away with this, that we allow for immunity in our country, but yet we don't have immunity according to the Constitution.
Now that's a really good point.
Yeah, the vaccine stuff is really, it really angers me. And I, you know, I'd have 10 kids, 12 kids right now in a minute, but I guarantee you none of them are going to get that stuff. And they would all be, I mean, I would raise an army right now if I had children that I was pumping out. I'm telling you this, there's a whole different world I live in today than I did. My youngest is going to be 29 here in about 2 weeks. And
Wow.
yeah, I'm 52. I had my kids early. Have your kids early, folks. Just telling you, it's way better. You get the whole rest of your life. You get the whole rest of your life to do
That's
whatever you
so true,
want.
man. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I get to do whatever I want now, but yet, you know, anyway. So, but yeah, so if I had kids again, I would be doing things so different. They would understand how the earth works in ways
Yes.
that I am just now having to learn because I want to learn and I want to live longer and happier than these creeps want me to. And part of that is I've went and got into mushrooms and putting mushrooms back in my yard. And I was out just yesterday in my backyard. I was out there today, but yesterday I was out looking at the, I have apricot, peach, and apple trees. And I planted those six of those just last year, just last
Right.
year. And I got fruit. I got apples last year. Miracle. I don't know how I did that, but I think my yard's healthier than what most people might think. But then this year, my apricot, peach, and apple trees are so full of blooms. I've been taking some of them off to prune it back because if the fruit were to come on and the way that these flowers are coming on, the trees would be on the ground. There's just no way they could
Wow.
sustain the weight. So I've been putting mushroom, and I got a new mushroom tincture I'm working with, but I've been putting mushroom dirt into things and learning
Right.
that you are more bioidentical to a mushroom than you are to an ape, but also. And that's a fact. That's a scientific fact. But also, you
Right.
should be eating about 1 pound to 2 pounds of mushrooms a month. And I know that
What
sounds like a
kind of
lot.
mushrooms do you eat? Because I do the mushroom tincture as well every day.
So I have a fruit-only mushroom tincture of lion's mane, reishi, chaga, and turkey tail. And in fact, I just took them about a half an hour before the show, and I will tell you that the cognitive ability, especially with the lion's mane, is absolutely peaked. Jason Dean is a friend of mine. He's a doctor up in the Northeast, and
Right.
I showed him these this last weekend. We met at a conference, and we were talking, and I said, "Hey, man, try these." He's like, he put them on. Within 2 to 3 minutes, he goes, "I can feel that. I can feel
Wow.
that in my brain." So lion's mane is has been a great one for me, but the turkey tail for cancer, the reishi for your immune system, and the chaga, I've been putting those on board, but. I'm doing this. I'm working with this guy. He supplies to restaurants and he just got into the tincture side of it. So he doesn't do filler. He
Right.
doesn't do the rice cake in a grinder and then drying it out and feeding it to you and saying, oh, it's all mushroom, when in reality, it's not. My guy is about a 10x to the next mushroom anything. And it's amazing. I tasted his, he took some lion's mane and he made like a ketchup. He didn't make ketchup, but
Oh,
he was
that's
processing
interesting.
it down, and he made like a paste out of it. It looked kind of like ketchup. It was brown. He's like, here, taste this.
Right.
So I taste it. I'm like, oh my, that tastes like shit. Like,
So, do you cook with any of this?
he's like,
Mushrooms?
what is this? Yes, I do. I do. I put mushrooms on everything. Everything I eat has got mushrooms
I
in it.
love mushrooms. That sounds really good. That's very
Mushrooms change dirt into what they need, and then mushrooms turn themselves into what you need. They're adaptogenic. They are bioadaptogenic to your body, what your body needs it to be. So anyway, I tasted this paste I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And he's like, he goes, yeah, it doesn't taste good. I'm like, you could have said that, you know, anyway, but yeah. about 2 or 3 minutes later, I felt this wash, this goosebump tingling across my brain. Oh, and I'm even really having it right now as I talk about it, because I think the mushrooms know I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
I just,
well, let me ask you this. Yeah, so what is your view on, you know, AI and the chatbots and things like ChatGPT and Google's Gemini? What are your thoughts there?
I think they just changed Google into a sentence form search bot. I don't think that I think AI has always been a part of the, what we consider to be calculations of a computer. You know, used to be able to go into, you know, you ask Jeeves, and then you had these different, you know, different things, search engines. So to me, the AI of things is only as effective as you put it into your life. Now, I have people that I know that literally, as they're talking, like they're, you can hear the tapping of the keyboard in the background. And I can tell that they're putting the questions I'm asking or the conversation I'm having with them into a ChatGPT.
Are you serious? Like, wait, people you interview are doing this?
Yes, I've seen this
happen. Oh my gosh. How that's sad. That's kind of scary too. Yeah. But you know, if you think about it, like, okay, so I'm convinced like AI, you know, it's going to lower the thinking level of most of the public, probably from what I would guess that right now, most of the public is probably a fifth grade level, except for the people that are watching right now and watch your show.
Yeah,
they're much higher, obviously, because they picked you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway, it's going to lower from fifth grade to third grade. But anyway, I wanted to share with you one thing that we're doing. Yeah. We are building a vaccine risk knowledgeable large language model, so that we'll have a chat bot that can be really supportive to parents and that will have like everything you could possibly know about vaccine risk in there, so that people can find answers, you know, rapidly.
Right.
And experimenting with it, you know, one of the strengths of it is that it can explain to you or different people at different reading comprehension levels, you know, instantaneously. So it can talk to like a PhD scientist in their own terms at their level, or it can talk to a 20-year-old who's a sophomore in college and maybe a political science major, explain vaccine risk in a way that will be understandable and relevant.
See, so that's really the way to do it. You're teaching them how to catch the ball, where a lot of people are using AI as a wheelchair when they've got perfectly good legs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that what you're doing, I think, is an effective, because that gives people the ability to counter narrative some of the things that they're being pushed back on. People are saying, oh, well, you don't know this and you don't know that. If the ChatGPT or that chatbot gives them the ability to create a narrative that they can comprehend and regurgitate, so that they can feel like they have a better offense to someone's attack, they can offense back, saying, listen here, that is a skill. Go ahead. You're good.
No, I was just going to say, even better, you know, what we're building is entirely disconnected from big tech. Yeah. There is no ability to censor. We're not using, you know, OpenAI, ChatGPT. It's all open source. Like right now, VaxCalc is all open source. And, you know, one of the things we built into it and into the software architecture overall is what I call the whack-a-mole architecture. Have you ever played whack-a-mole?
Oh yeah. Oh,
remember that game? Yeah. It's like you whack them all, and then you hit it down, but then it pops up somewhere else. Right. Well, that's how we need to be. Yeah. We need to design our systems like, no matter if we're taken down, we're popping up the next day somewhere else.
Well, and that's resilience, right? And I do appreciate that you're as a father. Now, how many kids do you have now? You got the one daughter, you got two daughters, or how many you got?
Three kids. Three 20 kids. Years old, 18 and 17.
Oh, okay, very good. So you got them kind of spread out there a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, so as you're with your kids, though, you create discernment. Fathers create discernment, and where people don't realize, when you create discernment in children, that creates a better human being, that creates free will, right? They want to be free thinkers. So fathers in the home
they totally are. And in fact, especially my sons now, boy, they are free thinkers and pushing back on me, which is great, because that's how they were raised, right? You want that, but it's, I mean, at times it can be challenging, but you know, in a good way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kids are my son will come over and I'm like, hey, don't Jim Price me. Because he'll start talking to me, and he'll like, now listen, Dad, you know, and I'm like, did you just Jim Price me? I said, don't Jim Price. I know how to do this.
Oh my God.
You know? Hey, well, Jim, you're gonna have to hold on because you just asked me a tough question. I think I'm going to like ask ChatGPT for an answer right now.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah. You gotta click it away at the. I am ashamed.
I still can't get over that. That's pretty messed up.
Well, remember the human mind is built to be lazy. It wants to find the path of least resistance.
Right.
It wants to solve problems. It wants to get them done and move on to the next thing. Boom, boom, boom. But when we find out that we can not have to think of the answer and just type in a very clever question, well, then that's just laziness. That's bidding into us. That's what we found with all these people on unemployment and the whole knockdowns. We just found out how incredibly lazy the human being can really be, where they just choose not to participate in society as long as they got a little dollar in the pocket. Well, you know, that's not going to be a part of it.
That's such an excellent point. And you know, I think one of the ways to counter that is the daily ice bath. Because, you know, we are not only lazy, but we are also, as a group, way too comfortable.
Yeah.
And that comfort is making us weak.
Yep. Oh, and guys, there's my analogy for you. Because the pull of the electrical between the atmosphere and the earth, we have a negative and a positive that we're drawn to it. But if we didn't have gravity sucking us down, pulling on us constantly, we'd be a big pile of crap because we would have no bone structure. We'd be nothing. But because I resist gravity, because I struggle every day against the gravitational forces, this is exactly what I look like according to how gravity affects me. If you didn't fight against gravity and stand up and push and be you, you wouldn't look like you. So again, in just the simple biology of the more resistance you have in life, the better off you are, and the more you are you, that tells me that we should be strong and be out there struggling and pushing forth. Again, I don't know why we thought that life was just sitting around in a recliner with our thumb on a controller. It's about getting out and participating in the world.
Oh, absolutely. So, Jim, what is one of your most important health practices?
For me is iodine. The biggest thing for me is iodine, and then making sure I have my copper on board first. Because iodine is cell function copper. You can't absorb anything in your body unless you have a copper supplement. I've regained the color in my beard and my hair because of copper.
Really?
Oh yeah, my beard was gone.
Is that why you have that copper cup that you talked about in the beginning?
Bingo.
Something about fermented water. What is that?
So the longer you leave water in copper, the water mm-hmm. will start to structure itself because there's electrolysis between the water and the copper. The copper will purify anything that's in it. If you put anything in copper, it will purify it. It will take the funguses, the bacteria, anything that's pathogenic, it will take it out of there. So the longer you leave this in here, so like in the morning, if I haven't drank it throughout the night or whatever, but next to my bed, this will be sitting there, and I drink this full glass of water. But I could take this cup, and I can look in the reflection of the light, and I could see the crystals, the rainbow crystals on top of the water. And I drink that structured water into my body, which your blood is structured water. Your blood is not liquid. It is crystalline form. And so I had somebody debate that with me. They're like, I'm a nurse, and that doesn't make any sense at all. I'm like, well, then go back and see what blood really is. Because you've been able to draw it.
Because what you're saying about water, there was a Japanese guy, I can't remember the name, but in the 80s, he took pictures of water, right? And someone was saying loving things to it, and someone was saying hateful things. And based upon what was being said,
it changes itself.
It changes the shape. Now, where can I learn more about that cup and obtain one? Because I've never heard this before, and it makes so much sense. I'm so glad I'm on your show today to learn this.
Well, text me. My number's on the email I sent you. Text me. I'll send you a link on it. But you should use copper. I use copper wire coiled in a counterclockwise pattern in all my plants. My grapevines grow on copper wire. My garden has copper pipe and copper wire in it as well. My beehives have a copper spiral on top of both of my beehives. I use when I give them sugar water, which is essential kind of in the wintertime when they get dry, and especially here in the Midwest, we get real dry in the wintertime. I give them sugar water, but I have copper, spiraled copper in the water because bees create healing with their frequency in their wings. And bees actually match the frequency of the environment around them. They don't fly. They harmonize. And when you see them flying, they're going through the less restrictive frequency in the air, and that's how they fly. Anyway.
All right, this is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of the most interesting people I've talked to in a long time.
Well, I appreciate that. I do this every day. This is the Jim Price Show. So
yes, exactly.
So this is how we do it. But no, copper is absolutely essential to everything. It creates electrolysis. So what happens is you ingest copper, and it goes into the sac around the heart and then the muscle. And the syncopation between the left and the right side actually become harmonized, and so that they're able to rest in that half beat between pumps, that if the copper's not there, they actually start to tear against each other. They become out of sync. And so you can actually, the first day you're copper deficient, you're 50% more likely to have a heart attack, only because the copper's not sitting in the heart doing what it's supposed to. It's good for hair, hemorrhoids. You can't absorb any of your vitamins. If you're taking 1,000 IUs of zinc and D and blah, 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 all these different things, and you're not taking copper, about 3 to 5% of it will passively go into the cells. The rest of it's just expensive pee.
All right, that is okay. That's really interesting, man. What actually moved you to, you know, from however you were living to all of a sudden, you know, or was it more of a journey learning all these very fascinating health practices?
Well, I was in construction for almost 40 years, and I touched every chemical known to man. I've been in AFFF. I've been in all kinds of things that I can't even begin to tell you what the names of them were. I was just not healthy. So I had like an IBS, Crohn's going on. So I got on a probiotic, and then I found out the probiotic was working. Then I got on tart cherry. Then I found that the tart cherry was creating the better pH in my blood and get rid of the uric acid. And so these things was just because my body itself was in dis-ease. And so what I did was I started working down that path, and then one thing worked. I was like, well, if that works, then what about this? And then I discovered iodine. Lugol's iodine, 2% potassium iodine. If I was taking 100 drops a day for 2 years just to get my iodine levels up to where they're actually adequate. So for 2 years, I'm drinking 100 drops. I would put it in some water, and it makes it kind of look like tea. Swish it around my mouth, swallow it. It remineralizes the teeth, purifies the gums, goes in and cleanses the stomach, helps the stomach lining. But the iodine, I was taking that for 2 years. 2 years just to get it to where my iodine was at the right level. So it took me 2 years at 100 drops a day, how deficient is everybody else? But iodine is for cell function. So your T4 that's created in the thyroid is necessary. Your T4 is created because of iodine. So iodine creates T4. T4 goes out, and then it finds methylfolate, B12, methylfolate. And once it hits that, methylfolate and B4 comes together. T4 and methylfolate come together. It creates T3. Then T3 looks for the cells, and it goes to plug in, and on the ends of it has to be iodine, and it goes to plug into the cell, but if there's no iodine there, your cell goes into limp mode, and it becomes a survival mode. It actually isn't a thriving mode.
Now, do you know if any of the stuff that we've just talked about over the last 10 minutes, could any of that be helpful to children who have just been recently diagnosed with autism, most likely from vaccine injury?
So I just did a big autism conference in San Antonio just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, and I will tell you right now, BH4 pathway, methylfolate, I would tell everybody, start with methylfolate. Get that right. Then a BH4 is what is royal jelly. Royal jelly is the only thing that BH4 is in your entire life. I would tell anybody who's autistic, start on the methylfolate, get on the iodine, get on the copper, but then do a heavy metal detox. And that's what I mean is glyphosate is a forever chemical. It will never leave your body unless you force it out. And it sets in the pelvic girdle of the body. It sets in the pelvic girdle, sits in the striated muscles in the pelvic girdle, and it will not leave unless you force it out of the body.
Okay. And where could a parent go to actually find this really good information?
Me.
Best place. Okay, you. Okay, like your website?
Yeah,
your
website if they have any questions, no, just have to come to me. This is stuff I can't put out there because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a medical specialist.
Got it. Okay.
But I can walk you through, and most of this is all minerals, very, very basic, simple stuff. Also, apricot seeds, John Richardson, actually his father, was persecuted by the AMA for curing cancer in people with lateral apricot seeds. And so that has a whole nother thing to it as well. Kerry Heiserman was just saying, hey, don't tell him about the apricot seeds. The apricot seeds, again, anti-cancer, huge. And it's not anti-cancer. It tells your body to go kill abnormal cells. That's
okay,
all it's doing.
Very
it's
good.
Giving the ammunition to go kill abnormal cells. So that's how.
Yeah. So I'd like to switch really quick. It looks like we don't really have much time left. Yeah. Maybe to leave your listeners with a rule of thumb that could be really helpful.
Go for it.
So when it comes to vaccines or, you know, even any medication, a really good rule of thumb is never use anything unless it's been on the market for 5 to 7 years. Like, don't even consider using it.
Yeah.
Because until it's been out that long, you really don't know what its effects are. And a medication is pulled, it tends to be after a few years, after a lot of people have been hurt.
Right.
So when something is new and it's released, sort of like the COVID vaccine or various medications that have been pulled, it's still an experiment.
Yeah.
And if you take it or you give it to your child, like the RSV vaccine or the COVID vaccine, please don't give that to your kids. You are part of the experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, it's been fantastic having you here. VaxCalc.com, right?
Dot org.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, someone stole it. Though.
Yeah. So no worries. But .org makes, I think it sounded better with .org anyway. So VaxCalc.org. Guys, go look up Chris and help him out with his stuff. Talk about what's going on. Be a part of the community. And that's how we all win this, is by talking. And Chris, I don't mean to get you out of here, but I'm running out of time myself. So I do appreciate everything you're doing, man. Get you back on the show again. All right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You
really
bet,
great
sir.
Being here.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Well, what a great interview that was with Chris, and I hate to cut him off short, but I wanted to make sure I let you guys know I will be traveling to Florida to the Holistic event that is down in South Florida. I will be there leaving tomorrow morning at 6:00 in the morning. So yay me. But I will be going down there. I did have a sponsor that wanted me to be there. So I'm going to be heading down and be a part of that event. So I'll leave out tomorrow, be there midday tomorrow, setting up tomorrow evening, and then be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'll fly back Monday. So it looks like, guys, I do apologize. I won't be doing my show Thursday, Friday, or Monday, but I will be back Tuesday at the regular time, just like always, guys. Remember, you guys are the best part of this show, and thank you for everything you guys are doing out there. Remember, do not hesitate to understand what your rights are. Remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. The world will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line, hold fast, do not give up, do not give in. We will win. I promise. I don't make promise I can't keep, guys. You've always been the answer. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never limits you. Guys, you've always been the right people at the right time. Stand up for what you know. Move your mouth. Do not stop talking. That's how they get us. And remember, guys, this TikTok bill has nothing to do with TikTok. It has everything to do with mind control, information control, just like Google and all the other ones have been doing all along. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys are doing. Remember, donate to the show as often as possible. I do have all the different things on the show, thejimpriceshow.com, my daily naturals, my mushrooms. I've got root brands, the clean slate, all those good things. So, guys, get out there and get on that, and we will talk to you soon. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys will be good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Bye-bye.